Good morning. We're going to call together the meeting for the Ag and Food Finance and Policy Division. And I'm thrilled to be here. I'm thrilled to have such an outstanding committee. This is going to be great. We're going to have a good time for the next 2 years together. So I just want to make sure that we do some introductions today, do a brief overview of kind of the budget. And we have a lot of people in the room as well, and so we're hoping to have a number of people from the audience also come up and let us know who they are and who they represent, because in agriculture, it's kind of a big family. There's a lot of people. There's a lot of you'll see them periodically in the meeting rooms, but you also probably will greet them at your office. So we want to make sure that you have a familiarity with who the people are that lobby on behalf of different groups and organizations, and that we can start this out with being a good, respectful, productive body and make sure that we're doing the good work for the people, right? So I'm excited to be here, and I appreciate that people are all gathered. So we do have a quorum, so I am officially calling the meeting to order, and we are going to start with just having the clerk note the roll. We're not going to call the roll, but he will just make sure that people have checked in, and we will introduce ourselves. So I'm going to actually start with our GOP lead, because he's got a commitment that he might have to leave for a little bit for, so I'm going to just start there, and then we'll come back up here.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's an honor to be serving on the Agriculture Committee once again. I'd like to think that this is the best committee. And, you know, it's always been wonderful working in a very bipartisan way to address something that's so important and touches the lives of everybody in the state every single day. Madam Chair, I want to thank you for the meeting that we had, very productive meeting in my office. Thank you for doing that once again and setting the tone of collaboration. So thank you so much for that. And I've always enjoyed working with you. I also want to thank Commissioner Tom Peterson. Commissioner Peterson was, he's over here. Yeah. It was a very good choice. It was an excellent choice. I want to thank Governor Walz for reaching out and selecting Tom. We've had a wonderful working relationship over the years, and I want to thank you also for setting up meetings, not only with myself, but others reaching out. And I really appreciated, you said one thing when we were meeting, how you said, it's one thing for the department to go in and find something wrong, whether it's an inspection or something like that. But you also, the next question or the phrase that you said is, what are we doing to help to correct those measures? And that carried volumes of you know, that's the direction that we need to continue going, we as government. Not only going in and finding things that are wrong, but saying, you know what, we're here to serve. We're here to help people to find meaningful solutions as well. So that was so refreshing. Thank you, Commissioner, for that and your commitment to agriculture. Madam Chair, I just want to say once again, I'm honored to be on this committee and to work with you and the other people on here as well. And so I just need to briefly step out, but I'll be back. So
thank you, Representative Hamilton. Could you do me one favor? Could you just tell us what district you represent and where it is in the state? Because we have new people, and so they may not know where we are all from.
Absolutely. I represent District 22B. It's the southwestern part of the state. It's a portion of Redwood County, all of Cottonwood County, half of Jackson, and the majority of Nobles County. The largest community would be the city of Worthington. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Yes. Thank you, Representative Hamilton. And I'm going to go next to Representative Brand. If you would introduce yourself, please.
Yes. Good morning. My name is Representative Brand. I hail from the true capital of Minnesota, St. Peter. I was formerly a St. Peter City Council member for 7 years, and I had the pleasure of growing up on a dairy farm in the west of the Twin Cities in Howard Lake, Minnesota. And so I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad to be the vice chair for this committee.
Thank you. And I'm just going to introduce the front people first, and then we'll go to committee members. So you want to just introduce yourself?
Yeah. Hi, everybody. My name is Carl Causey, and I'm the committee legislative assistant.
Good morning. I am Nancy Conley, and I'll be the committee administrator.
Good
Good morning, Madam Chair and members. My name is Colby Sullivan. I'm the nonpartisan analyst for the House Research Department, and I'm available to help draft any bills or amendments you may need or to provide related research.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members. My name is Ken Savory. I work for the nonpartisan House Fiscal Analysis Department. I work with Mr. Sullivan to draft appropriations and mainly do budgeting and, as you'll find out, spreadsheets.
Thank you. And then if we just, Representative Hansen, we can start with you and go down the way here.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Rick Hansen, I represent 40,000 people in northern Dakota County in the cities of South St. Paul, West St. Paul, Mendota Heights, Mendota, and Lilydale, and I think I'm probably the largest farmer on the committee. If we look at acres, I don't know about Representative Anderson, but I have farms in Fillmore County and in Freeborn County.
My name is Jenny Cleborn. I'm the representative serving Plymouth and 44A.
Hi, good morning. My name is Brad Tamke, and I'm the new representative for Shakopee, 55A. I am honored to be here on this committee, really excited for this work. I grew up on a farm in northwest Iowa, not far from where Representative Hamilton, I learned this morning, grew up as well. So a little town called Moville where we have row crops. We grew up with hogs, sheep, chickens, the whole nine yards on the farm. So really excited to be here and work on behalf of agriculture. So thank you.
Good morning, Representative Amy Wazlewick from District 38B. That includes the communities of White Bear Lake, White Bear Township, Delwood, North Oaks, and part of Hugo. And I have some agriculture in my district, but also I'm really interested in food policy, so glad to be here.
Todd Lippert, I represent 20B, which is the cities of Montgomery, Lonsdale, and Northfield, just south of the Twin Cities metro area.
I'm Rob Eklund. I represent District 3A. That, if you imagine the state picture of Minnesota, it's the point in the northeast corner. So if you drove from Grand Portage to where Rod Hamilton lives, it would be the longest drive in the state of Minnesota. I have some ag in my district, small grains, beef, and there's going to be quite an organic farming movement in my district. But the biggest crop by far is aspen.
Good morning, Madam Chair and committee members. I am Representative Vang. I represent District 40B. This is former Representative Deb Hillstrom's seat. This is Brooklyn Center and bits and pieces of Brooklyn Park. And I have roots in farming through my parents. When the Hmong community first arrived here about more or less 40 years ago, and they have changed the outlook and of farmers markets around the region. And so I look forward to working with all of you.
Bennett Smith, DFL Research.
Mr. Nicely, you want to go next?
Mark Nicely, Republican Caucus Research.
Representative Lewick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I represent Dale Lewick. I represent all of Aiken County and biggest sheriff, literally all of rural Crow Wing County, just north of Mille Lacs Lake. We've got quite a diversity of agriculture. Biggest crop is trees, as with Representative Eklund's world. We do a huge amount of forestry up there, which is an element of there's a crop rotation there. We also have cow-calf operations, a major turkey operation, some dairies. We farm wild rice up there. We also farm cranberries up there. And we do that in an environment where we've got 90% of our pre-settlement wetlands still in place.
Good morning, Madam Chair. I'm Representative John Poston. I represent District 9A, which is Southern Cass County, Todd and Wadena County. And most of my district is agriculture, probably 85% of it. I'm a farm kid, so I feel right at home on the Agriculture Committee, and I'm really pleased to be back on the Agriculture Committee. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning. Hi, my name is Paul Anderson. I'm a farmer, not a really big farmer anymore, I guess, compared to what's happening in agriculture. But I raise corn and soybeans and a little bit of wheat, and my district is 12B. The area kind of between St. Cloud and Alexandria, so it's parts of Douglas, Pope, and Stearns County. And at these introductions in years past, I'd always carry on my predecessor and say there are more cows in my district than people. And I hope I can still say that because especially Stearns County is the number one dairy county in the state, and our dairy farmers are being being pushed to the limit in terms of cash flows, things like that. It's tough out there for all farmers, but especially dairy. I would hope our committee can take a look at some things we maybe can do for the dairy industry in the state, because we're losing our small dairy farms at a pace that's really alarming, and that affects our main streets, our churches, and our schools too. So we'd like to really focus on that this session if we could. And it's good to be back, coming into the room, seeing the folks in the audience. We're like kind of a family here, the dairy, not dairy, but the ag people, the different aspects of dairy. So good to be back, and welcome all of you in the audience as well, and let's have a good year. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm Tim Miller. I have District 17A, which is about 110 miles west of here, my hometown of Princeburg. But I serve Swift, Chippewa, most of Renville County, and I have four townships in my county that I live in, Kaneohe County. And it's an agricultural district. It's a pretty large district, and we, if you grow it, we probably have it there. We have the corn and beans, sugar beets. I know that up north, Representative Keel will talk about that, but we do have sugar beets done by us. Dairy, cattle, Wilmer, which is not in my district, is like the epicenter of turkeys. So all things agriculture are very important. With everything that Representative Anderson said, is the same thing with my district, and I think we have a lot of work to do this year, and I look forward to doing it. Thank you.
Well, good morning, everyone. I'm Representative Deb Keel. I represent District 1B. Actually live in Polk County, which is the largest agricultural county in Minnesota. I, as Representative Miller indicated, I'm a sugar beet grower, and I come from the largest sugar beet cooperative in the United States. But we don't just grow sugar beets up in northwestern Minnesota. We grow quite a few crops, actually, wheat, soybeans, corn, edible beans. There's some organic farming going on now. My neighbor is not far from me that does hay that's shipped all over the United States. But it is very agricultural in District 1B, and I actually physically live 80 miles from the Canadian border and 30 miles from the North Dakota border. But I'm really looking forward to being here and working with everybody, and welcome back. I look forward to a good year. So I should say I also represent Pennington and Red Lake County, along with Polk.
Thank you. And we have a couple of pages. I'm going to ask that they just come down to a microphone as well and introduce themselves. And are you going to be the pages for this committee? Picture. Okay. So just if you can just say who you are in the microphone and where you're from.
I'm Mercedes Tuma Hansen. I'm from Minneapolis, and we may not be the pages permanently assigned to this committee. We're floating for this week, but we're very happy to meet all of you.
All right. Thank you, Mercedes.
Hello. My name is Chloe Burns, originally from Illinois, but happy resident of St. Paul, Minnesota now. So, yes.
Thank you, Corey. All right. And I will introduce myself. I'm Jean Poppy. I represent District 27B, which includes the city of Austin, which is lovingly, affectionately, and if you love Spam, it's known as Spamtown USA. So, you know, perhaps we'll have an opportunity to talk about Spam a little bit more throughout this committee. But happy to be here and represent that district. And I'm going to now ask, because we do have a lot of people in the audience, and I do want the people in the audience who want to be able to come forward and introduce themselves to say who they are and who they represent, how many people we have. I know we have a few on the list, but if you just raise your hands if you were interested in coming down and speaking, we have, yeah, so that would be good. So I'm just going to go through the list as we're going to start with the commissioner, because we are excited to have Commissioner Tom Peterson here, and he can just start us off. Welcome, Commissioner.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair and members. Again, my name is Tom Peterson, and I'm now the Commissioner of Agriculture for the Minnesota Department of Agriculture. And so it has really been an exciting week, and look forward to visiting with you all. I can just tell you that in my first week, it is really interesting to get into the department and see the 450 employees that are in the department and a lot of the good work You know, I'm pretty familiar with the department, having worked for 17 years with the Minnesota Farmers Union, and I look forward to visiting with you and being a resource. I'd like to, I don't know if it's okay to introduce our Deputy Commissioner, Andrea Vobel, and our Assistant Commissioner, Whitney Place, and our other Assistant Commissioner, Susan Stokes. And so, you know, I look forward to visiting with you. Obviously, we have a lot of tough challenges in agriculture right now, and I know we'll be visiting with those. But I also think in being in the job for a week, I'm excited about all the opportunities that are in agriculture, and there's a lot of things to be positive about. And so I appreciate the opportunity to be here today. And again, we're here to help you and the rest of the people in your district. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions for the commissioner as we start off? Otherwise, thank you. I'm sure we'll see you plenty of times. So I next have Bruce Miller. Bruce, come down.
Good morning. Thank you, Madam Chair, committee members. My name is Bruce Miller, and with Commissioner Peterson abandoning Minnesota Farmers Union, although we like to say we congratulate him in his elevation, we're really looking forward to working with Tom and his whole group there. I work for Minnesota Farmers Union. I've been with Minnesota Farmers Union for 12, going on 13 years, and am registered as a lobbyist for that time period. Because Tom is so good, you haven't seen much of me or the rest of our team. However, with Tom leaving, we have a team of three people who will be over here. It only takes three to replace one. That's the way it works. I will be taking the lead on agricultural issues, so it's good to see many of you who are old friends and some new people who I look forward to meeting. My experience with Farmers Union is as the Director of Membership Outreach, Local Foods, Food Policy, and Special Projects, which means generally whatever nobody else fits on their plate comes to me. So I look forward to talking with you. We're a big tent organization. As you're going to hear from other people today, and you've just heard from the commissioner, this is a challenging time in agriculture, in dairy, in crops, trade, all of those kinds of things, healthcare, broadband. It's amazing to me. 12 years ago, I would have never thought that the kinds of issues I'm working on with Farmers Union would ever be family farm issues, but they're all family farm issues, and I look forward to working with each and every one of you as we do that. Feel free to contact me. It's very simple, bruce@mfu.org. Thank you, Madam Chair. If any questions, otherwise, I'll see you in your offices.
Thank you very much. Next on my list, I have Bob Zelenka and Laura Lemke.
Morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Bob Zelenka. I'm the Executive Director of the Minnesota Grain and Feed Association. Our association has been around for 112 years, representing the grain elevator and feed mill industry. I've been with the association for 38 years. I'll be retiring in March, and it's been a good run, and it's been fun working with all of you. I'll still see you around a little bit yet, but I want to introduce Laura Lemke, who's going to be taking over my position in April. You want to introduce that?
Good morning. My name is Laura Lemke, and I've been with the association around 13 years, and I will be taking over as executive director April 1.
In our industry, we have about 9,000 employees spread out throughout the state of Minnesota. We have about 500 grain elevators and feed mills in the state, and most of your communities were the major employer, major taxpayer. So it's a large industry, kind of a quiet industry, but certainly one that is significant in the economic development for all rural Minnesota. And I suspect we'll be back here talking about producer risk mitigation probably real soon, too, if you've been following the news. Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much. Thanks for coming down. Okay, Lorna Schmidt from the American Heart Association.
Right. Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Lorna Schmidt. I'm the Government Relations Director with the American Heart Association. We are one of a number of organizations that are working to actively support the Good Food Access Fund, which is a program that's existed within MDA since 2016. It's designed to give resources and support to small food retailers, everything from farmers to brick-and-mortar grocery stores. We're working to actively address the food access challenges that Minnesotans throughout the state face. So in the coming weeks, look forward to meeting with all of you to talk more about the success and the impact that the program is having and the need to sustain it moving forward. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm not sure if there's anyone here from the Central Minnesota Young Farmers Coalition. If there is, we'll have them come down. Otherwise, we're going to go to Mike Carbo and Jamie Poole, from the Minnesota Grocers Association.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Jamie Poole, and I'm president of the Minnesota Grocers Association. We are the only state trade association representing the food industry from farm to fork. We are one of the oldest state agencies, celebrating over 120 years representing consumers, careers, and communities. I like to always say I have not been with the organization for 120 years, about 23. So we have over 300 members with nearly 1,300 locations statewide. Our members include grocers, convenience store, wholesalers, manufacturers, and allied partners. Our member companies employ both union and non-union Minnesotans, and we provide about one out of every 20 jobs in our great state. We are incredibly proud to be a part of the communities we serve. Our number one priority is to provide a safe and responsible shopping experience. We have always appreciated a collaborative approach in working with this committee as well as the Department of Ag. We as an industry hold multiple positions on the Governor's Food Safety and Defense Task Force. We have worked diligently over the past to update the Minnesota Food Code. Took over a decade. We share a common goal in providing Minnesotans with a safe food supply. Additionally, we're members of the Good Food Access Program. The work of this committee is important as it provides opportunities to strengthen Minnesota's brick-and-mortar stores as well as ensuring Minnesotans have access to food in their local communities. I thank the committee for the opportunity to talk to you today. We look forward to being a resource as well as working with you in this coming session. Mike?
Thanks. Chair Poppe, members of the committee, good morning. My name is Mike Carbo, Vice President of Government Affairs at the Minnesota Grocers Association. And this committee, as you know, funds the Department of Agriculture, and the Department of Agriculture is our main regulatory industry. They inspect our facilities and issue our licenses. And the MGA works collectively with the department to ensure that Minnesota's food supply is safe and secure. Additionally, as an industry, we are committed to promoting our local farmers and producers. GMJA partners with the Department of Ag with the Minnesota Grown Program, and we highlight Minnesota Grown products in our stores at the retail level throughout the year. And this annually, we have an award where we highlight the Retailer of the Year award. So thank you very much for the time today to speak in front of the committee. I look forward to working with all of you this session, and feel free to reach out to me. And I stand for any questions.
Great. Thank you. Thank you. So people did not need to sign up to be here to be able to come and speak before the committee. But I'll have Craig Johnson come down from the League of Minnesota Cities. And then after Craig, it will be whoever goes to the mic will be able to introduce themselves and say who they're here representing. So keep that in mind. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Craig Johnson. I'm with the League of Minnesota Cities. For those of you who are not familiar with the League, it's the umbrella association. We represent the cities of the state of Minnesota. There's 853 cities in the state. 832 of them are members of the League, and the rest are under 100 in population and don't really have much they need our help with. So we actually do spend some time working with the Ag Committee on a number of very important issues, and so I wanted to just say hi briefly. A couple of issues I know we'll be talking about this session, in addition to the list of food-related things that I know you'll be discussing. The Department of Ag plays a very important role with two things cities are responsible for, which is management of our urban forests and weeds. The mayor of every city is the designated weed inspector unless they can find someone else in town they can assign it to. So we do spend a lot of time working on those issues with the department. But in particular, recently, emerald ash borer has been a major concern for cities, and we will be talking with folks about that and what the state has for options to help cities deal with a very quickly spreading and very expensive problem. And other than that, it's we have a lot of work we do with the ag community on water issues, both on quantity and on quality. We work with the department and with other state agencies on this committee on where those issues intersect and how we can resolve any problems that develop. So very much appreciate the chance to say hi and look forward to working with all of you.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Johnson. All right. So anyone else? I know that I see people in the audience who I recognize and would like welcome you to come down. So anyone who's ready and wanting to come down and say hello, that would be wonderful. So just
Madam Chair, I'm Bernie Hess. I'm with the Food and Commercial Workers Union, Local 1189, down in South St. Paul. But we're a labor organization that represents workers in meatpacking. We also have a medical cannabis and soon industrial hemp sector. And we also work on food safety and food access.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Poppy.
Yes.
My name is Ben Penner, and I am a farmer and currently an instructor at Gustavus Adolphus College, and I've brought with me 20 students in a January term course called Culture, the Self, and Agriculture. And we are coming from Representative Brand's hometown of St. Peter this morning. And what we're working on is we're working on learning about the culture, and then this week the systems and policies of agriculture, which is why we're here, and then we'll move on to crafting responses to climate change through agriculture. So thank you very much.
Thank you. And so will this be it's a J-term course, so
it's a four-week course, ends on the 1st of February. We started on the 7th, and it's been an inspiring journey for all of us so far.
You may want to let us know what you conclude with as for students.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'd love to do that. Yeah. Yes.
That'd be great.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming down. Good morning.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Bill Bond, representing the Minnesota Crop Production Retailers and the Certified Crop Advisors, of which there are about 700 in the state. Our membership consists of those folks that provide the pesticides, fertilizers, and seed, and the services for growers across the state. And we have an interest in helping you understand more about precision ag, which we think answers a lot of issues about water quality as well as productivity on the farm. And we're finding more and more folks are adopting that sort of farming, and the 4R nutrient programs that are making their way across the grower community and throughout our membership, which really promotes the provision of good fertilizer practices within the state. So happy to be here. Thank you.
Yes, thank you for the introduction. Good morning, Senator.
Morning, Madam Chair, members. Thanks for the opportunity. Dan Scogan, I represent the Agricultural Utilization Research Institute. AURI was created some 30 years ago when Minnesota was going through another ag crisis. And we were charged with fostering long-term economic benefit for Minnesota through value-added agricultural products. So all of our clients, your constituents, have ideas on a new product or process, and AURI helps them bring that to a reality. It has to have an ag component, and we work in four areas of expertise, including renewable energy, food items, bio-based products, which is basically the oils out of corn and soybean to replace a petroleum product, and then a co-product redevelopment. Anytime we have a process in agriculture, there is a waste stream. We try to capture that and create a new wealth stream or economic stream for the entrepreneur or the small business person through the redevelopment of that waste stream. And typically that occurs in either a fertilizer or a animal feed. We have labs in Crookston, Waseca, and Marshall, and we have about 150 projects going on at any one time. So to the members who have served previously, they know us pretty well. To the new members, I'm in the process of setting up appointments so that we can get to know each other a little better, so that when your constituents have a new idea and a process or a product, we can help them take care of that. And, Madam Chair, thank you.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Valerie Jarek, and I represent the Minnesota Corn Growers Association, along with my husband, Ron Jarek, Mike Jarek, Rob Vanosik. You'll see us around here. I've been doing this for 28 years. We work on all things agriculture. This year, we're particularly going to be working on property tax relief for the buffers. So you'll be seeing us around. We'll try to get out and meet the new members. Look forward to meeting with you and working with all of you this year. On April 3rd, there will be a reception over at the Historical Society's Center, so we'll look forward to having all of you come out for that, too. So thank you.
Thank you, and thanks for commenting on the reception. That's something that I think we all should be reminded of, that there are sometimes numerous receptions throughout the agriculture community, and it's important for us to show up. And
please come out. We'd be happy to put on your calendar now, because there's always a lot of crossovers on those dates. And so if we would have got you on your calendar early.
Absolutely.
So put us at the top of the list.
Sounds great.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hello.
Good morning. Hello, I'm Sarah Dornick. I represent the Minnesota Agricultural Education Leadership Council, or MAILSE. MAILSE is a legislative council that was started in 1997 to promote and expand ag education opportunities across the state. We do have members of your committee that are on our board. We always have the chair of the Ag Committee and the minority lead of the Ag Committee, as well as a representative from the Education Committee. So Representative Poppy has served on a board, Representative Hamilton, and Representative Poston, and then actually Representative Anderson has previously served on our board. And so we appreciate their insight. We work with the 195 agriculture, food, and natural resource programs that are in our high schools. We do have 25 programs in the metro area, for some of you that are wondering. We have about 255 high school agriculture teachers. We also work with our post-secondary programs, the places that are licensing our agriculture teachers, and our farm business management program, which is out of the Minnesota state system. You may have noticed, may not be making it through the entire session, so I wanted to make sure and introduce my coworker, Carrie.
Madam Chair, members, my name is Carrie Schwab. I'm the program coordinator at MAILSE. And I also wanted to remind all of you, you should have received an invitation to the FFA Ag Policy Experience reception on January 28th, so we hope you can all join us.
And then last, I also teach, I'm teaching this spring ag policy class at the University of Minnesota. I'm in the College of Food, Agriculture, and Natural Resource Sciences. And one of the things I do as part of my class is have a legislative shadow. Our students are required to shadow for four hours. Some love it and stay longer. But if any of you are willing to be a person that my students can shadow, I'll be sending everyone on the Ag Committee an email asking for your assistance. So I would love to have your advice and guidance to those students.
Great. Thank you. All right. Who else? Morning.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members. My name is Jake Hamlin, Director of State Government Affairs for CHS. CHS, formerly known as Senex and Harvest States, we work in the fields of agriculture and energy. And also wanted to reference that CHS partners with a number of agricultural organizations here in Minnesota. So you heard from the executive directors of a number of those organizations, from Minnesota Grain and Feed to the Minnesota Crop Production Retailers. And as well, we are members of Cooperative Network and AgriGrowth. So you may see representatives of those organizations throughout sessions as well, throughout session.
Very good. Thank you, Jake. Mr. Chrysler, good morning.
Good morning. First of all, I want to also congratulate our new commissioner. Look forward to working with him and also looking forward to working with the committee. My name is David Chrysler. I'm the CEO for the Minnesota Pork Producers Association. We're located down in Mankato, Minnesota. That's where our office is. Most all of our members would be in west central, southwest, south central Minnesota, where most of the pigs are produced. We're the largest livestock enterprise in the state. Have about 3,200 all family-owned farms in the state that create jobs for 66,000 people in Minnesota. So including in Representative Poppy's district and also in Representative Hamilton's district at some larger packing plants. The other thing from an economic standpoint, hogs bring in about $2.4 to $2.5 billion per year into farmers' pockets. And so to compare that from an economic standpoint, that's just like building two U.S. bank stadiums every year in the state of Minnesota. It's just like building eight TCF bank stadiums every year. Okay, and all of those dollars stay in rural Minnesota, and that's why we're really proud of how the industry's grown. We're the second largest pork-producing state in the country and continue to, but we think, is a real sustainable growth rate, too. So thank you. Look forward to working with you during the session.
Thank you. So just a reminder, if anyone came in late, that we're just doing introductions of people who are parts of organizations and might be representing people within the agricultural industry. So if you're interested in coming on down, you didn't need to sign up ahead of time, but welcome.
Good morning, Chair Poppy and committee members. I'm Trevor Ames. I'm the Dean of the College of Veterinary Medicine at the University of Minnesota. It's my pleasure to be here and get acquainted with the new members of the committee as well as existing members. The College of Veterinary Medicine works to promote animal health and food safety in the state, and that spans wildlife through livestock and poultry to companion animals. And we're also home to the official state lab for the Board of Animal Health, the Veterinary Diagnostic Lab. And that lab works very hard to conduct surveillance and maintain health for the animals of the state and support our livestock and poultry industries. It's my pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Ames. I feel like it's, you know, come on down.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and everyone on the committee. My name is A.J. Dewar. I represent a number of A groups here at the Capitol, including I work for Mr. Pricer, representing the Pork Producers Association, also the Soybean Growers, the Biodiesel Council, the Association of Ag Educators, and the Federation of County Fairs. So I won't list off all the issues I'll be working on this year, but excited to reconnect with all the members of the committee I know and look forward to meeting all the new members as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dewar.
Good morning. I'm Paula Sundy. I work for U.S. Senator Tina Smith as her Ag Outreach Director. I'm here today to learn from you guys of what the priorities are for the state, but also to be a resource as the Farm Bill was just passed, and once the government is opened, will be starting to be implemented. So, good morning.
Thank you. Good morning. Thank you.
Good morning, members. My name is Christine Coughlin. I'm the Minnesota State Director with the Humane Society of the United States. For the nation's largest hands-on provider of care for animals, I'd like to let people know we're not an umbrella organization for local humane societies, although we do a lot of partnering with our shelters here in Minnesota. We work for the protection of all animals, and at times there are issues and bills that are referred to this committee that we have interest in, and in that case we'll look forward to reaching out with you and talking with you about those issues. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Josie Linetti. I'm the Associate Director of Public Policy for the Minnesota Farm Bureau. I, along with my counterpart Amber Hansen-Glazer, will be covering all things ag, so I'm sure we'll be seeing a lot of you this session. Thank you for the opportunity to introduce myself.
Thank you. And you probably have an upcoming day and or...
Yes, we do. Mark your calendars. Monday, January 28th will be our legislative reception as well as our Council of County Presidents meeting. So we absolutely invite you all to meet with our county leaders. We'll be over at the History Center.
Great. Thank you. Mr. Armagas.
Good
Good morning, Madam Chairwoman and members of the committee. My name is Don Arnosti. I'm the state director for the Isaac Walton League. We're a 97-year-old conservation organization with local chapters in communities around the state, including the chairwoman's. Our interest in agriculture is in bringing clean water and agriculture into harmony, and we work primarily at the local level with local communities to try to bring about practices that include a thriving agricultural economy and clean water. So I look forward to working with you through the course of the session and on into the future.
Thank you. We have a few more. Good morning.
Good morning. Chair Poppy, members of the committee, my name is Darren Macbeth. I'm a lawyer and contract lobbyist for the law firm of Gray Plant Moody, and I represent the Minnesota Milk Producers Association, the state's dairy farmers, Crop Life America, the crop protection industry, the Midwest Food Products Association, dealing with regulatory food processing and canned and frozen vegetable and food issues, the Minnesota Pet Breeders Association. Again, the Board of Animal Health and Animal Care issues are under the jurisdiction of the committee. Second Harvest Heartland, a large regional food bank, who have a farm-to-food shelf and a milk procurement funding program that's under the jurisdiction of the committee. And the Farm Credit Services Umbrella Association, comprised of Compeer Financial and Ag Country Financial. So I look forward to getting to know some of the newer, all the new members and working with the rest of the committee.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Beth. All right. Mr. Martinson.
Hello, Chair and members. My name is Brian Martinson. I'm the Director of State Government Affairs for Southern Minnesota Beet Sugar Cooperative. Minnesota is the number one sugar-producing state, and we are one of three farmer-owned cooperatives that operate in the state. We have 500 farmer shareholder members and employ nearly 400 individuals at the largest processing plant in the United States in Renville, Minnesota. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Appetz.
Madam Chair, members, my name is John Appetz. I'm with the law firm of Messerly and Kramer, and I have represented a number of groups before this body over the years. Today I'm here with the Minnesota Regional Railroads Association, the short lines and Class 1 railroads that move what it is you produce to the world markets. And sometimes what happens in the city and what happens in the country come into a little bit of conflict. Some of you who've been here for a while understand all of that. And our job is to move what it is that you produce. As I said, we're common carriers, and common carriers have to move. It's a requirement, have to move whatever it is that is brought to the rail line, and they have to move that in a safe and efficient manner. We intend to do that. We will do that, and it's great to be in front of your committee. Thank you, ma'am.
Great. Thank you so much. Good morning.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members. My name is Chris Cowan. I am also a contract lobbyist. I work with the Natural Resources Defense Council and the Pesticide Action Network. I've had the opportunity to talk to many of you, including Chairs Hamilton and Anderson, and I've always appreciated the relationship and the discussion. If I haven't talked to you yet, I'm working on that, and we'll be setting up some appointments. The clients that I work with, I just want to say on the front end that we're very concerned with what's going on in agriculture, and it's tough times right now, and we want to see farmers succeed. And we think that can work, and with the goals that we have, and we're interested in the reduction of pesticide use for the protection of pollinators. I've gone around the state and I've said some basic things: clean water, healthy soil. You got happy pollinators. When you have that, you have food to eat. And I haven't met anybody yet who disagrees with that. And I think we're all working towards the same thing in many ways. And I look forward to working with all of you. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Good
Morning, Madam Chair, members. My name is Bruce Claven. I've been a contract lobbyist here for 25 years. I've had my own law firm for 25 years. I'm a farm kid myself. I still get out and help in the fall if my dad and brother are short, so I do actually operate the machinery still. And I always have to make sure Appetz goes first with the railroads because I work on truck weights around here. So anyway, I won't go through all the issues, but I'll give you a list of the folks here. And he was modest. John's a Gustavus alumni, as am I. I'm class of 89, so I didn't know you folks were here. But anyway, for the grower groups, I work for the Minnesota wheat growers, the barley growers, and the other two sugar beet companies. I represent the potato growers, and that includes the largest grower in the country, Artie Offutt. I represent the turkey growers. They're Minnesota's number one in turkey production. I also represent the State Cattlemen's Association. That's the beef cow guys. I've got the broiler and egg association, or chicken and egg association. That would be both the broiler and egg side of the chickens, the turf seed and the grass producers up in the valley. And then for non-grower groups, I have Cooperative Network. That's actually a grower group, but we also have electric co-ops, food co-ops. Cenex is a CHS is a member. Jake was up here already. And my colleague there is Patrick Murray. He's not here, but you'll see him around Cooperative Network. I represent the Minnesota Agriculture Aviators Association. That's the spray plane operators, drain tile company manufacturer Prinsco, and then Syngenta, crop protection company. So I'll be working on a number of things with you all. So thank you.
Great. Thanks a lot. Mm-hmm. And thank you for making the connection for about Gustavus. See, it's important for students to see, you know, future roles in agriculture, and that they can be a quite a variety of things. So it's important to make that connection for you. All right. Anybody else? And we did keep the pages running, making sure that everybody signs in. So I appreciate that everybody is conscientious about doing that. And I don't want to leave anybody out. So if anybody wanted to come forward and be able to say hello, all right. Thank you for doing that. I just think it's important. I mean, when I started on the Ag Committee, I'm not sure I knew all of the players. And sometimes you have people who want to come and see you, especially as a new member. And, you know, you might not know how to prioritize who you're going to see. Certainly constituents generally come first, and then, but you may have some lobbyist that actually represents some constituents, but you hadn't made that connection. So just wanted to make sure that we did what we could to help with that. So I appreciate everybody coming forward and doing that. We are going to, a couple of notes. I want to just make sure that you see in the save folder that you have in front of you, we do have the committee listing of all of the committee members and who the people are. You can leave that in your save folder. Certainly, if you have questions, the nonpartisan staff are available to help you, and certainly we are blessed with really good partisan staff as well on both sides. We've got people who are who've been around and to understand the issues and are willing to help us out, so that's important for us all. And I also have our committee rules and procedures, and I just wanted to point out a couple of things. I think this committee, in the past, it has been a finance and policy committee, but then it's been split up as well. Both Representative Anderson and I have chaired the policy version of this committee, so we're bringing it together, maybe for the ease of more people, but we will be faced with both the finance issues as well as policy issues. And for the most part, we've been a bipartisan, well-oiled machine. We work well together, and I want to make sure that we continue to do that, to respect each other and respect the people that come before us. And I've never seen that being a problem here in this committee, but in other committees sometimes, you know, we can get antagonistic, perhaps, with people who are testifying or coming forward. And I think it's important for us to recognize that people are, you know, even the lobbyists who came before us, you know, it's a little nerve-wracking when you're coming to a microphone and needing to speak on behalf of your clients, and your clients may be here in the room, or you may need to report back to them. So I think that it's important for us to do what we can to make people feel comfortable coming before us, no matter if they've been here for 28 years or if this is their first-time visit to the Capitol and they want to be able to be a part of what goes on here. So it's important for us to be respectful. And then just prompt and courteous, we're going to try and start on time and end on time. So as much as we're going to be able to do that, that's helpful for all of us. And then there's just some information about if you're authoring a bill and bringing a bill before the committee, kind of what the process is. And speaking of bills, I'm going to do this before I forget. I do have a bill in front of me that I'm just going to ask if people would like to sign on to. I know Representative Keel has also put together a bill, and it's regarding the mental health counseling and making sure we have rural mental health. And this one also adds money to the farm advocates. We'll learn a little bit more about farm advocates and rural mental health next week. But I wanted to see if people wanted to sign on. I'm just going to pass it around. I'm going to just start this way. We do have Representative Hamilton is willing to be a co-author on this because we both have understood what the stressors happening in the farm economy right now make for tough times. And if we can do something that help alleviate the stress and prevent tragedies and suicides, frankly, in our state, we're going to try to do our best. So if you're interested in signing on, as many of the committee members as would be interested in doing that, they'd like to see us consider that. If you don't want to, that's not a big deal either. So I just wanted to let you know about that. Okay, and so next, I think we will turn it over to Mr. Savory, and he's got some information that was in the packet. So you'll see that. He is our House nonpartisan fiscal staff person.
Thank you, Madam Chair, again for the tape. My name is Ken Savory. I'm a nonpartisan fiscal analyst with the House Fiscal Analysis Department. As the chair mentioned, there are two items in your packets for the day. One is a small slide deck, and the other is a kind of a legal-sized spreadsheet. We'll start with the slide deck, and then we'll move to the spreadsheet at the end of the presentation. So the chair asked me to do kind of a smaller 15-minute overview of the general accounts within the Ag Committee. I'm also going to offer some comments on just kind of the general overall budget process here in the Minnesota House and the Capitol in general, as well as show some charts and graphs, just kind of where the Ag Committee has been in the past and kind of where they're heading should things go unchanged. So we'll just flip over to the first page and get going. So this committee contains within a number of financial accounts. Obviously, this committee has jurisdiction over the Department of Agriculture, as well as the Rural Finance Authority, which you'll hear about as we kind of go along throughout the year. Additionally, as you heard from testifiers earlier, there are a number of others, the second being the Animal Health Board, or Board of Animal Health. The third component being the Agricultural Utilization Research Board, or AURI, as we call it in the committee. And the fourth is kind of a historical note. In the past, the Horticultural Society was seen more as of a state agency and did receive appropriations through this bill. Just for sake of being complete, we do list it there, although that appropriation has kind of turned into a pass-through grant through the Department of Agriculture in recent biennia. As far as the makeup of the dollars, as you could probably guess, the Department of Agriculture receives the vast majority of the funds. The Board of Animal Health receives an appropriation as well as AURI, but those in comparison are not as large as the MDA ones. Flipping over the page to page three, we'll talk about generally the agriculture finance accounts, just a little bit more specifically in terms of which funds the committee will be using to appropriate those various departments and agencies. Fund one is called the General Fund. The General Fund is basically where all the tax dollars go within the state treasury. This committee will be using mostly general funds when we talk about direct appropriations. So the majority of appropriations that go to, the Department of Agriculture will be general fund dollars that show up either on the spreadsheet or in the appropriation articles within the Ag Omnibus Bill. Moving down slowly, there is a fund called the Agricultural Fund, or the Ag Fund as we call it. It's a fund containing many of the Department of Agriculture's fee-based programs. So when a producer or someone has to pay a fee to the department, in the vast majority of cases, it's deposited into the Ag Fund, and then that money is appropriated to the department for that specific purpose. So if you had to pay a food licensing fee, for example, those dollars are deposited in the Ag Fund, and that department uses those dollars to do that purpose. Next, going down further is the remediation fund. It contains money from certain fees and proceeds from bond sales, and it's used to take care of Superfund sites and close landfill cleanup sites. And these funds are appropriated for specifically that purpose. The remediation fund, unlike the ag fund, is used in various other places within state law or within session law. It's been used in the environment area, and it's also used in the ag area, are the two kind of main places. Moving down further, federal funds are, as you would imagine, are dollars the state receives from the federal government for various programs related to agriculture. There's a process here at the legislature where those funds have to be appropriated via state statute. The statute is 3.3005, and there's a process in which the chairs of the Ag Committee were to approve of receiving federal funds. And the federal funds as well, you'll see show up on the spreadsheet, but they won't necessarily see those numbers, say, in the ag omnibus bill. Moving down further, there's the special revenue fund, which is just a fund made up of many miscellaneous accounts. Special revenue fund is used in many places within state government. And that we don't use it as much in the ag omnibus bill, but it does come up every so often. In terms of the amounts within these certain funds, general fund is used the most often in the ag omnibus bill, and the ag fund is probably the second most, and then probably the federal funds would be the third largest in terms of use. I'll go quickly just kind of through the appropriation types. There's just some general kind of notes there on appropriations within the ag bill. Direct appropriations are ones most notably associated with the general fund. The vast majority of appropriations that this committee will be dealing with that show up in the ag bill will be direct appropriations out of the general fund. Simply put, they're an appropriation of a specific amount of money for a specific period of time. Typically, that's 1 year of the biennium, or the first year of the biennium, the second year of the biennium, or both years of the biennium. And that specific amount of time can be the biennium into the tails or the outer years, or it can be one-time dollars where that ends specifically within a certain fiscal year. A statutory appropriation is a little bit different. It's an appropriation made in statute instead of session law that authorizes the ongoing payment out of a treasury or for a program. So other funds besides the general fund are most typically used for statutory appropriations. So you'll see the Department of Ag or the board or the Department of Ag specifically talk about we have statutory authority to use ag dollars for certain programs that come back to the committee through the payment of fees. And typically you won't see those in the appropriations articles within the ag omnibus bill, but this committee does not have to reauthorize those. They're just there in statute on a permanent basis. Additionally, if you flip the page, there's an open appropriation within the ag area. It's very, very small, but generally, if you kind of think about open appropriations are appropriations that involve activities where you need the money on an ongoing basis. So an example I like to use is in the environment area where the state pays for ongoing activities related to fighting fires. That's such a standing appropriation that allows for the department to go back for a purpose that the legislature doesn't have to be back in session in order to appropriate those dollars. So fighting fires, obviously, not necessarily a time-sensitive item within the year. You would need those dollars on an ongoing basis to take care of that issue. The next three slides are data that I've kind of compiled over the course of my time working on the Ag Committee, just to give a little bit of perspective on the state budget in general. So the first pie chart you're going to see is a fiscal year is 1988 and 1989. As you can see, ag isn't listed on here. At that time, it was rolled into the state government area, which, as you can see, is a small, or roughly 4.8% of the overall budget. Now, these are all general fund dollars here. At the time, that was about $12.5 billion. And you can see that Health and Human Services and post-secondary ed, or K-12, are the kind of the two big pieces of the pie, along with K-12 education and property tax aids and credits. You flip the slide over one more time, you'll see a little bit of a difference in the way the state budget is constructed. So in terms of time frame, this is about 8 to 10 years later. 06-07, general fund dollars again, but the amount has gone up to about $31.5 billion. You'll see that education in general has taken up about 42% of the budget, and you'll also see that health and human services now has grown to about 26% of the budget. And if you look in the lower left-hand corner, you'll see ag and environment are kind of broken off by themselves. Combined, they're about 1.3%. In that case, ag is about a third of a percent, or 0.3% of that 1.3%. If you flip the page one more time, we'll bring you kind of back to current day. So this is general fund spending from the most recent economic forecast. So if you look, K-12 education is still a significant portion of the budget, about 41%. Health and human services has gone up a little bit, about nearly 30%. And then you'll see agriculture in the lower left-hand corner, again, about 0.3%. That is an appropriation of roughly $120 million over the course of the biennium. Just gives you a little perspective on kind of like where ag fits into the general budget framework. And additionally, too, you'll see there's been more growth in the general fund area on the state basis, so it's up to $45 billion. And this being the most recent data, we were able to go back and construct the pie chart in the last makeup of the House committee. So as of the last legislature and House committees, this is the way it would look now that we're back in a new legislature. Going forward, one more slide, you'll see a line chart. This kind of illustrates the growth of the ag area over the course of the last, essentially from the early 1990s to current day. As you can see, from about the 90s all the way to about early 2000s, there was a pretty tremendous growth in ag appropriations, or ag spending, and that had to do with the ethanol program. Now, this was a producer program which farmers and producers could receive payments from the department and state government in general for ethanol products. And as that program kind of increased, ag appropriations kind of peaked at about $147 million. And once that program kind of ended, as you can imagine, those appropriations kind of weaned off, and we kind of bottomed out a little bit in 06-07, went up slightly right before the economic recession. As you can imagine, went down slightly more during those tough years, during 2010, 2012, 2014. And then 2014-15 forward, we've had relatively good economic times within the state. I've seen appropriations grow pretty substantially since then. As some may remember, and for members not aware, the state went through a pretty significant issue with avian influenza the last several years. And so some of those dollars, as you can see in FYs 14-15, 16-17, are dollars from a one-time basis that were used to help fight the avian influenza outbreak. But at the same time, too, there's also new investment made within this committee during those periods as well. So as those one-time dollars kind of fell off, the new investments, in addition, pushed the dollars even higher. If you look at years 18, 19, and 20, and 21, that's essentially where we are now. The dollars for 20 and 21, those are new dollars based on the base funding that this committee will be appropriating from. So when it says 20 and 21 there, all the way on the right-hand side, that's essentially where this committee will start from. And that number can go up, or that number can either go down based on the allocations that leadership within the legislature deems appropriate, and ultimately what this committee decides. Flipping the page, I just want to kind of leave members with a few kind of notes on the 2017 and 2018 session. Generally, I just wanted to say a few words about just kind of where the committee was the last biennium and where it kind of leads the committee into appropriating for the new biennium. After every session, my office, and specifically me for agriculture, put together a group of charts just kind of show generally percentage increases and dollar increases. Where the last enacted budget was. So if you look on the left-hand side of the chart, you'll see the number of the accounts that we have in our jurisdiction, so the Department of Agriculture, Board of Animal Health, and AURI. On the right-hand side, you'll see the percentage changes from the enacted FY 18 and 19, versus 16 and 17, which was the biennium that the committee was leaving when they're appropriating for the new biennium, which starts in early summer. So as you can see, like I said, there's been significant investments in the Department of Agriculture, so 9.3%, which if you think about it from a funding standpoint, a 9.3% increase for a particular agency or committee is significant. Also, too, you'll see the Board of Animal Health. They were tasked with the large, with most of the responsibility for the avian influenza outbreak. And some of those dollars, you see negative 15.5%. That's just dollars one time kind of falling off, kind of as we move into the new biennium. Flip the slide one more time, and as Representative or Chair Poppy talked about a moment ago, there were a couple of appropriations that were vetoed during the last legislative session. There were no new changes enacted in regard to agriculture appropriations last session. That bill was vetoed as a part of the larger omnibus bill. And that was Chapter 201, Article 25, if you were to look it up on the state revisor site. And so those two major appropriations were the $217,000 for the Rural Mental Health Program, and then down one more bullet point was the $30,000 in additional funding for the Farm Advocates Program, which deals with helping farmers navigate legal issues and financial issues associated with farming. Flipping to the next slide, I just want to generally kind of familiarize members with the way that the appropriation articles within the Ag Omnibus Bill are constructed. So obviously, this committee will appropriate to the three major agencies within our jurisdiction, that being the Department of Agriculture, Board of Animal Health, and AURI. The Department of Agriculture is broken into several components, the first one being protection services. So as you can imagine, activities under that would be things like plant protection, laboratory services, promotion and marketing, which is home to, say, things like the Minnesota Growing Program and the Dairy Development Program. The value-added products section, which is home to research programs like the AGREET program, which is the Technology Transfer Program to the University of Minnesota, and then AGRI, which is a value-added products development program. And then lastly, there'll be an administration and financial assistance program, which is exactly kind of what it sounds. That's the agency services of the department, as well as a number of pass-through grants that go to certain entities. As many of the testifiers spoke today, they do work with some of those pass-through grants, and they're located in the agency administration area. That is kind of just a broad overview of what the bill is constructed of. I imagine MDA, the Board of Animal Health, and AORI will go into much greater detail when they present budgets and other testimony to the committee. But that's just broadly kind of how it's constructed, were you to go back and view the bill now. Flipping over one more time to kind of my last meaty slide here. I just wanted to give the members of the committee just kind of a timeline of kind of where we are in the budget process. So just in terms of the boxes checked on the left-hand side, we've already made it through early December. We've already seen the November economic forecast. We're in January now, obviously, and so legislature has convened. The new governor has taken, the administration has taken their new positions. And then in late February, we'll see the governor's budget recommendations. That's a little bit later than normal because this is a new governor. They're allowed to get a little bit more time to prepare those budget recommendations. So we'll see that in late February. In late January, we'll also see some legislative deadlines established that will kind of inform the committee on when certain deadlines are, when finance bills need to be out of this committee, when policy bills need to leave this committee, things like that to be general. In March sometime, we'll see targets from the Ways and Means Committee as well as Senate leadership and the Finance Committee. Targets, generally for members unfamiliar with it, is a phrase we use from a financing term. That's how much above or below the base level a committee is allowed to allocate. And that's done in the House through a budget resolution through Ways and Means. April, or approximately then, we'll see omnibus bills kind of leave the House floor, and then we'll start seeing the formation of conference committees. So this bill, in some capacity, will be conferenced with the opposite ag bill in the Senate. In May, we'll see those conference committees conclude, Conference committee reports will return back to the House floor. Members will vote up or down on those particular conference reports, and those bills in May will be sent to the governor as the legislature adjourns in the third week in May. And then the governor will be allowed to either sign or veto those bills. Just in the back, last slide, just my contact information. Feel free to reach out about any finance issues or things of that nature. Happy to sit down with members kind of more one-on-one or in small groups to talk about appropriations and items that come before this committee. And with that, I just wanted to offer a few comments on the larger kind of spreadsheet that we'll be working from this year. So as members can kind of see, this is a spreadsheet that covers all of the appropriations and funding tracking that we do in the ag area. It's important to kind of think about how to read a spreadsheet, just looking at it. Obviously, it's a lot of numbers, it's a lot of text, it's a little overwhelming. And oddly enough, this is one of the smaller ones, so if you're in a bigger committee at a larger budget area, these spreadsheets can stretch to, say, 15, 16, 17 pages. This one's about 7, 8, 9, something like that. So we're lucky to have a really condensed area. If you look just kind of going across the top, I want to highlight some kind of general things you can look at when you see a spreadsheet that I would present to a committee or include with a bill. In the upper left-hand corner, you'll just kind of see kind of where we are in the process. So we're in this case, this was the 2017 legislature. This is for ag finance, obviously. And this is kind of the conference agreement. Next one I give to you all will say, in the upper left-hand corner, will say February forecast. That's kind of the next big stop in the kind of the financial world. When we get the February forecast, I'll make one for the February forecast, and after that I'll say something like governor's recommendations and potentially governor's revised recommendations. And then following that, it'll say something to the effect of whatever the omnibus ag bill's name is, say if it's House File 2, that'll be up in the upper left-hand corner as well. It's important to note that all dollars are in thousands, so when it says the number 500, it's actually 500,000. Going on the top, you'll see the fund, as I talked about before. Just kind of briefly looking down that column, you'll see GEN, which stands for General Fund. If you go to the right, it'll be the type. You'll see most of those are direct. Every once in a while, you'll see one that says STAT, which is abbreviated for statutory. Or you'll see one that says OPEN, which is obviously the word open for an open appropriation. Continuing kind of along the top for the column headings, you'll see here's some data for the February 2017 forecast. List the fiscal years, that's for 18 and 19. Jump one over, same thing, but for 20 and 21, the tails or the out years, as we call them, the planning years. In the middle of the page, you'll see columns for the governor. Those are 18 and 19, and then the combined 18 and 19 together. Another column for the tails for the governor. And then you'll see a column for 2017. So that would be, let's say, if this committee decided to make changes in this current fiscal year, it would be for 2019, it would be changes in that column. And then you'll see on the last two columns, or the last two shaded columns, Chapter 88, which was the conference agreement, that was the chapter that became law. And so you'll see if 18 and 19, 20 and 21, that's where the committee, or that's where this financial area ended up. So Chapter 8 is the law regarding session law regarding appropriations to agriculture, Board of Animal Health, and AURI. And all the way on the right-hand side, you'll see this some kind of comparison columns. So that would be the conference committee report minus the base. So what's the difference between there? And then you'll see the conference minus base for the out years. Sometimes there'll be one for percentage, where how big a percentage increase in appropriation is, say, the Department of Agriculture appropriation versus, say, the base from last year. And as you can imagine, these columns will kind of change and shrink and grow kind of based on where we are in the process. Starting off, you'll see ones that are more related to the base and the governor's proposal, and then eventually you'll see ones for the base, the governor's proposal, the House proposal, this bill, the Senate proposal, and so they'll kind of grow, wane, and wax. So these can kind of be arranged in any way, in any manner. And sometimes you'll see a variety of columns either shrinking real small or expanded real large. It's kind of a lot to go through it kind of line by line as I do for, say, when we do the omnibus bill. I think I'll just leave this with members for now, and as you kind of look over and you have questions, please don't hesitate to reach out to me via my contact information. You'll see kind of items that are highlighted, say, change items. Those are changes that someone has proposed. So that would be, say, the governor or this committee, let's say it's a change item, there'll be a change to an appropriation. And if you have questions on kind of specific appropriations as well, feel free to reach out. But I think that's kind of where I'll leave it for now, and then we can kind of discuss it later. But Madam Chair, I think that's all I have for today, unless members have questions or other things they want to talk about.
Thank you. Any questions from members? Yes, Representative Anderson.
Thanks, Madam Chair. And this is, I guess, a question more directed to you as the chairman. You know, there's been discussion about the change in committee structure, that type of thing, and how finance committees are all divisions. So will that at all change the way we address putting a budget together? Will we recommend to the Ways and Means Committee, or will we actually pass a budget out of here? Is that going to change at all with the way the committee structure has changed?
I don't. Yes, Mr. Savory.
Madam Chair and Representative Anderson, from my understanding, we'll be preparing what is called a division report, and that will then be sent back to Ways and Means. So the name will change a little bit, but structurally, yes, we will pass a ag finance bill, from my understanding.
Thank you. Any other questions? Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Savory. Sometimes when you're new, especially, or returning, you might not always have served very much on finance committees, and so it's helpful to understand what's within the jurisdiction. So I appreciate that. And we will, I have a couple of other announcements. We will meet again on Thursday, and one of the things we're going to talk about will be a greet on Thursday. And that is one of those things that came up. So when you see that little blip, that was because a GREET was created, and which is a research, sustainable research fund in order to help to support agriculture. And so we collectively do some things that help to move the dial, I think, on agriculture and its prominence in our state, as well as trying to make sure we help and not hurt it as much as possible. So I appreciate that we're going to be able to hear more about that. I do know that MARL, which is the Minnesota Ag Rural Leaders, are having a they're maybe here today and tomorrow, or they're in the process, I think, of being around. They have a banquet tomorrow night. I don't know if anybody got information about that, but it's $40 for the banquet, and I think that you potentially could still sign up for that if you're interested in doing that. So let me know if you have an interest in that, because then I can give you information. So maybe I'll see a few of you there. Yes, Representative Keel.
Thank you, Chair Poppy. I just maybe for new members, what is the acronym MARL stand? I mean, what does it stand for?
Yep, the Ag and Rural Leaders, Minnesota Ag Rural Leaders, and so MARL is a it's a study course. Is Sarah here? Dornick? No. Anybody on this committee that's participated in it? It's an 18-month course, and it's a travel and culture as well as, yes, Representative Miller, can help describe it.
Yeah, too. Madam Chair, I'm not on the board. I haven't participated in it, but I've been around it quite a bit. They have a big presence in the Wilmer area. So what MARL is,
we have the Deputy Commissioner. She can come forward.
Oh, yeah, she could probably describe it better than me. I'll let her go and do it.
Just so people know what it is.
Hello, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I'm Andrea Bobble, serve as Deputy Commissioner. I used to be on the board of MARL, so I can talk a little bit about it. But, yes, it stands for the Minnesota Ag and Rural Leadership Program. It's basically a learning program, a leadership kind of accelerator program. People apply for it, and they go to a national or an international trip every year. They they have a day on the Hill, so you'll be hearing from them soon. They just kind of learn about agriculture around the state. They do different leadership activities, and we've had a lot of really wonderful people go through the program that you'll meet through you know, various means. So they have a lunch right now. That's where the commissioner went just now, and then they do have a banquet tomorrow night. And they'll have a lot of different events over the next year or so that you'll be able to have an opportunity to attend.
And sometimes if they're available, they can come to committee and present too. So,
yes.
Anyway, they have that. Yes.
Madam Chair, I want to add also that understand the people that attend this are industry leaders. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking like business owners, and there's people in ag groups and things like that. This is a great deal of horsepower, people that are current leaders and future. I'm real supportive of Marl and what it does in the state of Minnesota. I think it's a great program. So if you'd like to know more about it, I don't know if any legislators, have any legislators ever been, I figured that there was. Yes, I mean, I'd like to do it sometime.
Representative Torkelson did it, but prior to his service
in
the legislature. So I'm not sure if any current members have done it, but.
Pardon.
All right. Well, thank you. So I think if there's nothing else to come before the committee, then meeting adjourned. Thank you.